We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Director, we've heard talk for many years in Rhode Island about a skills gap, and we know that many Rhode Islanders lack enough education to get good jobs. You've been on the job for slightly more than a year after coming here from Maryland. What do you say about what are the primary obstacles in closing this skills gap?
Well, you know, the good news is that the skills gap is not just a Rhode Island phenomenon. This is actually a nationwide and worldwide phenomenon. And what we need to do here, just like everywhere else in the country, is figure out how to connect the training we have with the jobs that we currently have. And if we can do it better than other people, it's a real economic development advantage for us because companies are making business decisions a little bit apprehensive because they're afraid they can't find the skilled workers that they need.
To pull back and look at the big picture for a minute, we know that Rhode Island has lagged Massachusetts in regaining its pre-recession level of employment. When do you expect that will happen?
We are projecting before 2018, but we need to do some deliberate things to make it happen as quickly as we can. You know, Massachusetts has done a really nice job with aligning education and the workforce. And, Commissioner Wagner's got a plan. We need to get going and get working on similar efforts.
Let's go to Scott.
There's an awful lot of talk in the presidential campaign about wage stagnation, which we know has hit the blue-collar worker very hard in our state and many, many others. What role does free trade play in this? Because certainly on the Democratic side and the Republican side, both parties are enmeshed in this debate about we need fair trade, not free trade. These trade deals that we've done, NAFTA, looking at TPP, what they've done is really take jobs away from American average American blue-collar workers. What role does trade bills have in this?
Well, you know, it was interesting. The Manufacturing Association had a meeting, and the talk now is reshoring. And the reason for that, according to the studies I read, is the answer is not cheap labor to every problem. We in the United States do a great job with innovative work and added value manufacturing and other things like that. So what we need to do right now more than anything else is to really get our workforce geared up and ready to go to get involved in the advanced economy. And, you know, we have an opportunity right now to beat companies like China or They act like a company, China does, though, sometimes. But, you know, we have an opportunity to really beat the Chinese at their own game. I'm bullish on it. So while we worry about trade and figure that out.
Your boss, Governor Raimondo, supports raising Rhode Island's minimum wage from $9.60 to $10.10 an hour. How do you respond to critics on the other side of the issue who say the state's minimum wage has gone up by a relatively high percentage over the last couple of years, and in their view, that it causes some employers to avoid hiring more workers?
Over and over, we see that money that's paid in the minimum wage goes right back into the economy. So some may feel like it hurts them, but we know that from the macro perspective, it's a better deal for the economy as a whole.
You know, you like to compare these long wait times that you've had at DLT for unemployment insurance and those to McDonald's, but McDonald's would be out of business if they couldn't deliver a hamburger and a milkshake, you know, within 48 minutes. That's a long time, even 17 minutes to wait. What are you going to do about these long lines?
Well, you know, there are about six different kinds of reasons why a process gets slow, and you got to attack all of them at one time. And that's exactly what we're planning on doing. We're having a chat with our local union, actually, because unless we lean this process out and make it work properly, we're just not serving Rhode Islanders like they deserve. And, you know, that's not acceptable to the governor, and it isn't acceptable to me. So it is a huge challenge. It's plagued the department for many years, and, you know, we're going to change it.
We're talking here with State Department of Labor and Training Director Scott Jensen. And, Director, there was a recent Federal Reserve study that had kind of a mixed finding on the so-called skills gap in Rhode Island. It found that a growing number of Rhode Island jobs are going to out-of-state workers. What were your main takeaways from this study?
I'm more interested when I talk to companies here in the state than abstract studies about skills gaps. And, you know, I see over and over again some really innovative ideas coming from our private sector. And, you know, I think what we need to do is, and what I like about Real Jobs Rhode Island so much, is focus on the jobs we have right now and solve for the challenges that we see. Sometimes some of the things are very simple, and other times, you know, we have more complicated work to do with the CCRI and the K-12 system. So, you know, skills gap studies always make me a little bit queasy.
Well, speaking of CCRI, we've heard for many years that there are many incoming students there who need remedial education in math and English. If students are behind the ball at that level, obviously it doesn't seem positive for their job prospects. How does the state kind of walk and chew gum making progress on these complicated interwoven issues?
Well, the great thing is that it's not an either or. So the best work done on, for example, remedial education in community colleges shows us that contextualized learning is how you really catch up quickly. So, for example, if you weren't great in Shakespeare class when you were a sophomore year in high school, and you go decide that you're going to be a phlebotomist at CCRI, and, you know, the thing that gets in your way of being a phlebotomist is you got to pass the Shakespeare class, you know, that's not going to be, you know, a very smart plan. But if you can contextualize the learning, and studies show this over and over again, the Senate president had a great forum about this time last year that's focused on this topic in particular with the Aspen Institute. You can do much better, and we need to. And I think the new leadership there understands.
Why are we so far behind here in Providence metro area, the Boston Inside 128 area, compared to getting high-tech 21st century jobs? Why are we just lagging so far behind? It's only 50 miles away.
We got kind of a double whammy. Our manufacturing center, the jewelry industry, died later than a lot of similarly situated manufacturing around the country. So if you go into Baltimore, you know, I had the had to close Bethlehem Steel, finally dead in Baltimore City. Steel had been dying for a long time. Mm-hmm. Jewelry died later. So we have our hangover started later, if you will. So we're starting to make that change. The governor is talking about it explicitly. So I think we have the obligation and opportunity to really change things a little bit quicker and get that curve moving in the right direction.
Save the toughest question for last. You've studied philosophy. So who is your favorite philosopher and why?
I'm a Heidegger guy. I believe that, you know, Heidegger's thoughts on what the conditions for the possibility of experience are far superior to Kant and others. Although a close second is Wittgenstein, the later Wittgenstein, of course, because, you know, who likes the Tractatus?
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Director of the State Department of Labor and Training, Scott Jensen.
Thanks.